So we are in Parashat Vayeshev this week. Let's move forward real quickly to the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. What was the greatest disaster that happened to Israel in the book of Exodus? The golden calf. What was the greatest disaster that befell Israel in the book of Numbers? The bad report of the spies. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. With the sin of the golden calf, how many people died? It was 3,000. So I have a question to ask you. I got a lot of questions today. Which was worse in the eyes of God, the sin of the golden calf or the bad report of the spies? That's a hard question. The bad report on the spies was actually worse than the sin of the golden calf. Because in the sin of the golden calf, it was an effrontery on their part to God. And you remember, Moshe came out and he said, "Those of you who are going to be with God, come over here to me. And those of you who are not, stay where you are." 3,000 of them stayed over there. They made their choice. The others repented. But the sin of the bad report of the spies, God was not so forgiving of that. Now, you know, in our minds, we look at that and we think, oh, well, the golden calf's got to be far worse. But when they betrayed God, God could forgive. When they betrayed each other and when they betrayed themselves, God said, "That's it. You're going to wander in the wilderness until every one of you falls dead." It kind of changes the way that we look at our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. What does God put a premium on? Just our direct relationship to Him or our relationship with each other? It's our relationship with each other, because in corporate places where there are a lot of people, Yeshua said, "When two or more of you are together in my name, I'm with you." The glory of God always shows up in community. And so the community had better be holy. So that's, you know, we kind of sometimes need to refigure the way that we think about things. So, betrayal of brother. How many of you read Parashat Vayeshev this week? One of the greatest betrayals in all of Scripture. I got a quick rabbit I got to chase. Tell me, what was worse, betrayal of Yeshua, or was it Peter's denial of Yeshua? Oh, that's something to ponder. That's something to ponder. Okay? We're not even going to go for an answer on that one. I just want you to think about it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had received promises that the sons of Jacob would begin a new nation. And now they're back in the land. Now Jacob has finally, after everything that had gone on with Jacob, trouble with Esau, lying to father, got to get out empty-handed, leave with nothing but a staff. Trouble with his father-in-law. He wanted to marry Rachel. He got deceived and ended up marrying the not-so-lovely sister, as it says. And then he got two other women involved in his life because they said so. And then he continued to have trouble with Laban and his sons. And finally, it's get out. And now he's got to go. And now he's got to face his brother. It's nothing but trouble and trouble and trouble. And he wrestles with some man of mystery. And from that point, things seemed to get a lot better. And he saw Esau. And he tried to reconcile with Esau. He said, "Take all, I'm giving you this for reconciliation." And Esau said, "Ha, keep it. Come live with me. We'll have peace if you come to my place and we live on my terms." Jacob said, "No, I'm going where God has told me to go. And so now, at 108 years old, Jacob, Yaakov, can go back to the land. And at 108, Vayeshev Yaakov, and there dwelt Jacob in the land. I'm back home. I'm back where God wants me to be, and everything is going to be great. And then the brothers. You know, there's a bit of a problem. There's something locked up in that word, Vayeshev, or Yashev. Yashev means to sit, to dwell, to contemplate. He's 108 years old. It's time to retire. It's time to take it easy. I've done my part. I have done everything so far. It's time for me to go home. I got my boys. I got my daughter. I got four wives. And now, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to rest. Yashev. To sit, to study, to contemplate. But wait a minute. You go back when Jacob had that dream and he saw that ladder going from the earth up to heaven and the angels going up and down on it. Do you remember what he said? This is the gate of heaven. This is the dwelling place of God, and I didn't know it. And you remember, he set up a stone and he anointed that stone and he said, this will be Beitel, the house of God. He forgot something. I'm going to go back. I'm going to take it easy. I'm 108. It's time for me to retire. But it was still to be the house of God. My sweet wife and I were talking some months back. And she said, you know, Tim, look at our age. We're just now getting started in this. And everybody our age who's been in it, now they're retiring. When are we going to get to retire? I said, there's no retirement. There is no retirement. When we have had the blood of the Lamb applied to our lives, when we know that we have been redeemed from an eternal separation from God, and that we have been given this great and beautiful gift of salvation, how can we retire? Where is it? And I'm getting way off. I better go back to my notes. I'm sorry. So, okay. Got back to the land, and almost immediately, trouble started again. Hey, everything's going to be great. No, sir. It's not either. God called Jacob to do a specific job, and he decided for himself, I'm finished. And so what happened? Conflict began in the lives of his sons. If we get to the point to where we say, I'm done, let somebody else do it, watch what happens in the lives of our children. Watch what happens in the lives of our grandchildren. Don't have time to go over it now, but go over Isaiah 59:21 sometime. Isaiah 59:21. It's a great promise. But keep in mind, we got to do this for the rest of our lives. Okay, so I want to start with Genesis 37:1-4. Now, Jacob was settled in the land where his father had sojourned, the land of Canaan, where he had sojourned. He went and he settled in the land where his father had made Gerim. Uh-oh. Missing his calling. In the land of Canaan. This then is the line of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended the flocks with his brothers as helper to the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. And Joseph had brought bad reports of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph best of all his sons, for he was the child of his old age, and he had made him an ornamented tunic. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him so that they could not even speak a friendly word to him. Okay. You know, we see these people in Scripture and we think, wow, what a great guy. We look at Abraham and think, wow, Abraham was magnificent, but he put his wife in danger. Look at Isaac. Isaac was a great guy. He too put his wife in danger. Look at Jacob. None of them perfect, except for Yeshua. And so here we've got Jacob, the father, who looked at his one son, Joseph, apart from his other sons. What was special about Joseph, besides the fact that he was a son of his old age? Well, his mother was Rachel. Rachel was the one that Jacob had his heart set on. You remember he was deceived. So his heart was set on Rachel. She was the second one he married. He was deceived into marrying Leah first. Okay? And so Rachel was barren. All the others started having children and stuff. And there you go. And finally, God heard Rachel's cry and he opened up her womb. And there was Joseph who was born. In the scripture, it says that Joseph is Ben Zakinim, the son of remembrance. In other words, he looked like Jacob. So he's the son of my favorite wife, and that boy looks like me. Woo! There's something special about him. And so we ended up giving him this really nice, colorful cloak. It was beautiful. Wait a minute. What were all his other sons? They were shepherds. Look at what I got on. You boys are dressed like shepherds. Huh. You boys smell like shepherds. Look at me. I'm Daddy's favorite. All of you who were born from Leah, your mama was ugly. Still is. And the others of you, your mamas are just concubines. I'm Daddy's favorite because my mama is Daddy's favorite. I'm somebody special. He's not doing himself any favors here. As a matter of fact, whose fault was it that he's not doing himself any favors? It's Jacob's fault. Jacob had made some serious mistakes. So, he says to him, as his brothers were watching their flocks, Jacob said to Joseph, "Go and find your brothers and bring me word back." And if you have older brothers and sisters that sometimes would snitch on you, didn't you want to just throat punch them? You know, it's quite terrible. Or if you have a younger one that snitches on you, then you want to, you know, it's like, "I'm going to really hurt you, kid." Jacob's actions were causing friction with his sons. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near." So another question I have for you, do our actions cause friction among our brothers and sisters? That's something that we need to consider. As a matter of fact, I want to talk real quickly about Elijah. On Mount Carmel, when Ahab and Jezebel were you know the story. 400 prophets of Baal. He said, "Call them out. Let's go on top of the mountain. Let's find out who is God." And right there on top of the mountain, they set up two altars. And then the prophets of Baal, "You know, go ahead. If your God answers, he's God. Otherwise, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. Let's see who comes out first." And you remember what happened? The prophets of Baal began cutting themselves, began calling out, and were making their own blood run to try to appeal to this demonic God. And Elijah said, "Maybe he's on the toilet. Call out louder. You know, hey, maybe he's asleep. Wake him up." And the next thing you know, after God did what God did and God showed everybody who the true God was, and that's a great story, but there's one thing we forget. Immediately following, he had to run from a little woman. He had to run from Jezebel. What happened? He let his tongue cause others to defile themselves. Ooh. Remember the reading from Sefer Yaakov today, from James. The tongue is a world of fire. He caused those others to defile their physical bodies. They had already defiled themselves spiritually, but now he's completing the job for them. And God punished him. God judged him. But God rescued him when he repented. So let's take a look at the brothers real quickly. Joseph was very willful, very prideful, thought he was something very special. He flaunted it to everybody. Joseph had a really hard time controlling his mouth. He was a tattletale. Daddy, do you know what the brothers are doing? Daddy. And the brothers hated him for it. Started talking about his dreams. Oh, brothers, y'all listen to my dreams. We were out doing this wheat. All your stalks of wheat bowed down to mine. Oh, brothers, check this out. I had a dream that all the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to me. Okay. Not endearing himself to anybody. Not doing himself any favors. And he caused his brothers to despise him anymore. Do we let our pride cause any friction with our brothers and sisters? Do we let our pride cause division? Genesis 37:19-20. They said to each other, this is when he's going to go find his brothers on this mission that Daddy sent him on. They said to each other, look, this dreamer is coming, so come now, let's kill him and throw him into the water cisterns here. Then we'll say wild animals devoured him. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. You know the story. They took Joseph's coat. They killed a goat, dipped his coat in the blood and everything else. And after they had thrown Joseph into a pit, they sat there eating. Joseph screaming out, brothers, 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 help me, please. I'm sorry, brothers. And they just kept eating. We're having ourselves a nice meal. Don't listen to that. Oh, that's hard-hearted. That's seriously hard-hearted. And then, of course, They saw the Ishmaelites, so they decided that we're going to kill him. And they said, Judah said, no, let's make some money off of him. They saw the Ishmaelite traders coming with their spices. Hold that in mind, because there's something very special about the spices. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and away he went to the land of Egypt, where he was going to be a slave. And they took the coat to their father and said, this is your son's coat, isn't it? Is this your son? You notice they didn't say, our brother. Hey, isn't this your son's coat? You judge whether, ooh, legal language here. They violated covenant. And they used blood to make it look real. Are we starting to get a picture of something really bad going on here? So, Genesis 37:24-25. Yaakov tore his clothes and, putting sackcloth around his waist, mourned his son for many days. Though all his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, he refused all consolation, saying, no, I will go down to the grave to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. Wow. By the way, right after that happened, Judah, I got to get out of here. I got to get away. When we wrong somebody, very often what we do is we say, I got to get away. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But do our responses to others cause friction and heartache? And I'm going to ask that again. Do our responses to others cause friction and heartache? And again, Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So the problem, where did all of this really, really start? The problem started with this thing called pride. And pride expressed itself in actions and in words. And these actions and these words caused the family to split. How's God going to make his plan work now? Well, the good news is, the disobedience of man does not stop God's plan. That is great news. So, the problem here was Lashon Hara. Does anybody know what Lashon Hara means? It means the evil tongue. Lashon Hara. I'm going to take just a quick minute and tell you a story you already know, but you probably don't know where it came from. There's a story in the Talmud about a man who committed Lashon Hara. He was speaking evil things against people. And by the way, later in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, what do we see that Lashon Hara, the evil speech, causes? It causes leprosy. It's funny, it doesn't happen anymore. And it only seemed to be for the time when the temple and the tabernacle were up. But if we defile other people with our words today, does that kind of put a leprosy on our souls? I think it does. So anyway, this man had gone to the rabbi and said, "Rabbi, I have spoken ill against my brother. I've spoken ill against other people. I want to repent. What do I do?" He said, this is easy. Take yourself a pillow, a feather pillow. You go out to the forest. When there's a good breeze, you cut the pillow open. And at night, you cut that pillow open and you wave all the feathers out of it and let the feathers go out into the dark forest. And then you go out and you pick up every single feather in the dark. When you have done that, you will have reconciled for what you've done. And then we know that's just not possible. Committing Lashon Hara, evil speech against our brothers and sisters, is a very, very terrible thing. And Lashon Hara hurts three times. It hurts the one who is spoken against, it hurts the speaker, and it hurts the one who listens to it. That's very important. Because listening to Lashon Hara, if somebody comes to you, "Oh, did you know? Did you know also? Don't tell anybody I told you this." If we listen to that garbage, that's going to get its way inside of us, and it's going to start defiling us. And if we start getting defiled by it, eventually, what does it say in Proverbs? "Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life." If we let that garbage get into us, eventually, it's going to come out of our mouths. Okay? So, there's something very serious is going on here. It breeds pride. We know better than the other person. We're better than the other person, and we're just going to say so. But don't go and tell anybody I said that, do you? So, brothers, the brothers of Joseph spoke evil against him. Joseph spoke evil against them, and it caused a split. But I can tell you this. Anybody who commits Lashon Hara, there's something behind it. How many of you think that Joseph's brothers would have loved to have been daddy's favorite? Absolutely. They would have loved to trade places with Joseph. No, I want to be the favorite. And so that jealousy drove them to act in such a way to cause grief to others and to cause a split in the family. Well, pretty serious. And we can't help it if somebody speaks against us. If somebody speaks against you, you can't help it. But you can forgive. And if somebody speaks the Lashon Hara to us about somebody else, you can't help it. If somebody comes up and says it to you, you just heard it. But you have a decision to make. You can say, "Don't talk to me about that. Do not ever bring that to me again." Because the person who will say it about you, you know what's going to happen. If he'll say it about you, if he'll say it to you, later he's going to say it about you to somebody else. And so it's best just not to listen to it. So I want to show you something real quickly. Proverbs 4:23-24 and Mark 7:15. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Keep crooked speech from out of your mouth. Banish deceit from your lips." That's very simple. Look at what Yeshua said. "There is nothing outside a person which by going into him can make him unclean." See, all this time people think this is about food. It's not about food. It's talking about what's going inside of our hearts. "There is nothing outside a person which by going into him can make him unclean. Rather, it is the things that come out of a person which makes a person unclean." So we listen to Lashon Hara, and we start getting caught up with it, and we start acting upon it, and we start committing it. We have defiled ourselves. That's pretty serious. So, you know, in a very liberal society that we live in today, everybody says, "You can't judge. The Bible says don't judge." I challenge anybody to show me where the Bible says don't judge. If you judge, judge righteously. Now, there is a place where it says don't judge, because the judgment that you mete out to others, it'll be meted out to you. Can I just tell you, that has nothing to do with what what we're talking about here, what that's talking about, it goes back to where they appointed judges to sit at the city gates. In other words, what he's saying is don't put yourself in a position that you have not been appointed to, because that causes jealousy also, causes people to say things they ought not say. And so, yeah, today we say, oh, don't judge. But the Bible says judgment, this is so hard. The Bible says judgment begins with the house of God. That's hard. Say again what you just said a minute ago. When you judge, judge righteously. I want to be really careful here. There are people who commit lashon hara, the wicked speech. I have seen, and there's a lot that's gone on, and I have not told anybody, I'm not going to. I have seen things going on in the messianic world and in the church world. Things are happening with a few individuals. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Question from a few weeks ago. Who is the greatest causer of division in the world? Yeshua is. He said, don't think I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword of division. But that's dividing the righteous from the unrighteous. But within the house of God, within the body of Messiah, who brings division? Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And I have seen some things going on in the body of Messiah that just bring pain. And I'm just going to tell you, if people are committing these acts against anybody in the body of Messiah, it's best to stay away from them. And I'm going to leave that at that. We have to judge the people we walk with. Do we judge each other? Yes, we do. We judge each other. So, and that's not a bad judgment. We judge each other as in, what you said is righteous. What you said is right. What you said is good. And I want you to keep saying these kinds of things, because this is what makes us grow together. But, brother, can I use you for an example? Let's say that JC hears me saying something that I shouldn't be saying. That JC hears me speaking against somebody I shouldn't be doing. Can JC judge me? You bet he can. He can come to me and in private say, Tim, you're wrong. And you need to make it right. That's judgment. But that kind of judgment is for what? That's for our edification. That's righteous judgment. And if I won't listen, and if I won't do as he's saying because it's a righteous thing, if I say, well, you know what, that's just the way it is, I don't care. What needs to happen to me? I know you're thinking it. Somebody say it. I got to get out. I got to be put out. If I will not listen to righteous judgment, I've got to be put out for the sake of the rest of the community, to protect the integrity and the holiness of the community. That's just got to be done that way. All right, I'm really got to hurry up, so I'm going to skip a few things. Joseph. Joseph got sold into Egypt. He suffered and he suffered and he suffered. And while he suffered, he learned humility. He became a servant in Potiphar's house. He was now, it's like, okay, I better not be so prideful and so arrogant. He humbled himself before the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He learned how to serve and to put others ahead of himself, and he got raised up. And just about the time things were going really well, Potiphar's wife, and you know what happened there. Then he got thrown in jail, and while he was in jail, the chief baker and the chief cupbearer were thrown in jail, and they said, isn't it interesting that it's back to dreams again? And they said, we've had these dreams. And he said, interpretation belongs to God. It ain't me. He's learned humility. And so now, in saying so, he hears their dreams. He gives the correct interpretation. Boom. One lives, one gets hanged. And the one who lives forgot to say something. And then Pharaoh had a dream. You know the story. I don't need to go over all of this. Eventually, Joseph was raised from the dungeon to the second highest position in the kingdom. And considering that Egypt was the strongest kingdom in the world, he was the second most powerful man in the world. Like that. And we know that his brothers came and they bowed before him. You remember what he told his brothers? When Jacob was about to die, I got to hurry. Again, man's disobedience does not alter God's plans. God just may have to say, okay, you don't want to do it this way. Then you're going to go through this, and you're going to go through this, and you come back where you're supposed to be. Redemption does not happen without suffering. Oh, that is so important. I got to say it again. Redemption does not happen without suffering. Picture Yeshua on the cross. There would have been no redemption without that. And it works the same way in us. And so here's Joseph, who suffered, finally was put into this position, and now he sees his brothers. And he told his brothers, he said, don't be upset with yourselves. God sent me here to preserve life. Here's the hard part. Sometimes when we suffer, it's even to suffer for the benefit of those who abused us. That's not what we like to hear. We want to say, God, you go get them and you make them repent. And God says, I call you to do something of eternal significance. If suffering was not too bad for the Son of God, oh my goodness, it's certainly not too bad for us. He said as much. So, Joseph finally came to understand that there is great strength in humility, and if we are chosen, we're going to be targeted. So if we're suffering, it's a good thing to ask God, why am I suffering? Instead of moaning and griping about it, like, quite honestly, I'll be the first to say I've done it. I've even done it recently, and I'm sorry. I need to learn to shut my mouth sometimes. We need to ask God, why are we suffering? You know, Yeshua said many are called, but few are chosen. Anybody know why if you were chosen? Because people don't want to pay the price. We answer the call of Yeshua. We're going to suffer. And often it's going to be for the redemption of those who have caused our suffering. We don't like to hear that, but that's just the way it is. And it gets back to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, one last thing, and I'm going to close it up. Let's go back to the Ishmaelite traders. They saw him coming, and Joseph's suffering was just about to start. And they carried with them spices. And Joseph had to ride all the way into Egypt in the presence of all those spices. Now, let's see. In order for you to get the best out of spices, the best aroma, the best effect, and everything else, you got to crush them. You got to pound them. You got to grind them. Same thing with us. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. But thanks be to God, who in the Messiah constantly leads us in a triumphal procession, and through us, let me stop there a second. He leads us in a triumphal procession. We're not dancing and singing and saying, "Woo, look at us." If you go back in history and you look at a triumphal procession, you have been captured by the enemy. You have been stripped down naked, and you're being paraded through the street so everybody can see your humiliation. When we called upon the name of Yeshua, everything on our outside had to start to be stripped away. So we didn't look like the world. We didn't act like the world. We didn't smell like the world. No. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of what it means to know him. For to God we are the aroma of the Messiah. Wow! To God we smell like his Son. both among those being saved and among those being lost. To the latter, we either smell of death, leading only to more death, but to the former, we either sweet smell of life, leading to more life. And when we're going through these things because somebody else in our family, somebody close to us, has committed these things against us, that's part of the grinding. And how we respond to it is going to determine that fragrance that God has poured out upon us. And so, we have to remember Philippians 4, 5. Let your gentleness be evident, for the Lord is near. Please take into heart everything I've said this morning, because in the days to come, there's going to be more and more and more suffering. America is embracing the Muslims. Oh, we just want to show you love, and we're electing them. I don't have anything against Muslims. I don't have anything against people. But if you know anything about their religion says, kill people, put them in bondage. Our God is exactly the opposite. We can't hate them. We have to love them. But our society around us is just, we're electing them in record numbers now. And we're turning our hearts away from the people of Israel. God, forgive us. And if it's going to fall on Israel, it's going to fall on us. And so we have to let our gentleness be known, because the Lord is near. And that is this week's version of the good news, because it is good news, from Parashat Vayeshev.